Previously on Two Jews and a Gay.
Spencer, you're going to get it. Jeremy and I were involved in the November campaign.
That as a team, we did raise over $7,000.
Brian, as we've discussed already, was freaking out about his voice on episode 12. Brian writes, I've had my diva moment and am edited now.
Honestly, a lot of the irritation I had was mainly at Jeremy. I'm like the asshole who's like, well, I think we should ditch it. And then you're like, oh, well, actually, I heard it and it sounds all right. We should go ahead.
I asked Derek. You guys should have named it Two Jews and a Gay Broke-Ass Edition.
Here's Joel's interview with Spencer, Jeremy, me.
Well, there was casual flirting, curiosity, and then eventual touching.
Moving over to Jeremy now for some Dirty Talk Hollywood.
Dirty Talk released their list of the top 99 most desirable women this week. Spencer, I'm going to list you the top five, and you tell me if it moved. Number three, Kate Upton.
My testicles just got twisted.
Yeah!
Moving on to our brand new segment, Brian Martinson's If These Balls Could Talk, mouth by Joel Garcia.
He was a few years older than I was, experienced in the ways of L.A. that I, as a new resident, found comforting, reassuring, and sexy.
Yes. You might be gay, Spencer.
Jeremy, am I gay?
I think you are.
Am I?
We're getting ready to start the podcast. We're almost ready to start.
Along with Jeremy Katz.
Happy New Year, Brian.
Happy New Year, Jeremy. And, of course, Spencer Yasmin.
Happy New Year, Jew. Happy New Year, Gay.
Happy New Year, Jews. Well, this is the very first podcast of 2013. Glad that you could join us. Hope everyone had a great holiday season. Jeremy and Spencer, what did you guys end up doing for the holidays?
Well, first off, guys, we survived the Mayan apocalypse, so congratulations to
it has been,
the Jews and the Gay.
That is the reason why we weren't doing podcasts for late December. We were concerned that the Mayans were just going
to
make this
and
all
Spencer
irrelevant.
Was very paranoid. You went into hiding for like 2 weeks, Spencer?
That's correct, and I also ate my first human. Very tasty.
Jesus.
A little dark.
But what he means by that is he actually sucked his first dick.
No. We were training as if we're going to have to survive whatever was going to happen. So we had to eat a human, half dark meat, you know. The other half was very white, very pale. I'm not sure which one I like more, but I definitely have tendencies now towards eating more pork, at least. So that's good.
That is good.
My rabbi is going to talk to me later today, though, about that.
So, I thought you were supposed to be a good Jew.
Well, my rabbi's talking to me, try to convert me back to just kosher food. So we'll see how it goes.
Jeremy, what was on your agenda for the holiday season?
Went over to San Francisco for a little New Year celebration with.
Oh, you just drove on over?
Just drove on over. Yeah, we planned a big guys trip, a bunch of the guys,
And I know, Brian, you couldn't go, obviously, but you were invited, so.
Yeah, I was in Tahoe. I do appreciate being considered one of the guys.
And Spencer did not get an invite, though.
No.
Well, because you're not considered
Spencer,
one of the guys.
Spencer, I had a dream, okay? I had
another
dream.
I can't argue the dreams. As long as Jeremy has dreams, I cannot protest any of these. So.
Yes. So for our listeners, basically, myself, Dan, Keith, Gilman, all went up to San Francisco, and Nick. And Nick had sent a text out like the week before saying to all those guys, including Spencer on the chain, and said, "Hey guys, can't wait for New Year's. It's going to be so much fun." And we're all like, "Yeah, it's going to be great." And then all of a sudden Spencer texts back saying, "Yeah guys, never got the invite. Go fuck yourselves." So,
why didn't Spencer get the invite? Is it because Dan hates him?
Can we move along? I mean,
Dan was the first one to wish me a happy birthday, I think.
Dan was, and he wished you made sure that you were all right through your procedure, right?
He did. We went live. They got him on the screen right before they stuck the tube in my ass. And Dan's like, yeah. It was like a tout video or something. Very high tech.
No, Spencer, in all honesty, you had the girlfriend, so we figured that you guys would not come.
I mean, oh, just, you know, well, I'm glad you made the. I'm glad you drew the conclusion for me. I appreciate it. So.
Executive.
You know
decision.
What? I don't need to make my own decisions anymore because Jeremy and the group has my back. So thank you guys. I appreciate it.
Yes. Well, not that either of you've actually asked about my holiday, but I'll tell you.
Oh,
anyway.
How was yours?
And moving along.
I was in Minnesota for Christmas, and that was very nice and cold and great to see the family, great to see friends. And then over New Year's, I was in Tahoe, where I had skied for the first time in 15 years. Although I do use ski in quotation marks, I didn't get on the slopes a lot. I took a class, and the class is like 2.5 hours long. It was very helpful. I learned, you know, how to actually stop, which is really important when you're skiing. And
would they let you go on?
What was that?
Would they let you go on to the next level?
They would. Yeah. I mean, I was considered one of the better students of that class. But basically, by the end of the class, my ankle was really sore because I was in rental boots and the sock was kind of rubbing up against my ankle, and it kind of makes me sound like a pussy to say this, but my ankle was too sore to continue. So that's where
your ankle's definitely hurt when you ski for the first time. When I went skiing in Taos years ago, I had to do that training course too, and they kept passing me around to different teachers. They're like, everyone, we're ready now to go at least on the bunny hill. Hey, you go over there. And I'm like, where? And then I look back and the trainer was already gone. So I spent 9 hours getting passed around from teacher to teacher. So at least you made it past that 2.5 hours. That's good.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We actually, my friend, you know, friend of the podcast, Joel was, it was for his birthday. He's a New Year's baby. Happy birthday, Joel.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
We were in the San Francisco airport on New Year's Day, trying to get to our flight, where we ran into the one and only Jeremy Katz. The funny part of this situation was Joel and I were so incredibly late for our flight that we see Jeremy, but we completely blow him off. We're like, can't talk right now, gotta go. And I'm seriously, like, my belt is dangling because we just got through security. I'm like a complete hot mess trying to get to the gate because we think that the flight is actually boarding as we speak, because we're supposed to leave at 8:30. We got into the security line at 8:15, got through it at 8:20, and we're racing down the very last gate. Thankfully, it was American Airlines and was delayed even more than we thought, so everything was fine.
American should have that as their commercials, you know. Whenever in doubt, don't worry. We'll make sure to delay the plane for you.
Spencer, it was a scary image watching a stressed out, freaking out Brian Martinson holding all of his luggage, running across. It was weaving in and out of old people.
Were you guys talking on the phone, or you just randomly ran into
him?
No,
just randomly ran into
him. I'm in one of the convenience stores, and all of a sudden I hear Jill go, "Hey, Jeremy," and then I look over, and Brian goes, "There's no time to talk. We're late for our flight." And I instantly think, I'm like, "You can't wish me Happy New Year, you asshole." So I was a little upset, but, you know.
He quickly recovered.
Yeah.
Joel,
stop and shake my hand.
Joel probably stopped to talk, though. He wanted the chit-chat.
Well, and Joel's like running along right next to me, and he was having his carry-on bag wheeling behind him, and he kept on clipping my heel, so I'm like staggering as I'm running, and I'm running in big fucking ass thick Timberlands, completely screwed up my back. So I've been virtually bedridden, though not really, since the new year.
Oh my.
But anyway, That sounds like everyone had a good New Year. Did any debauchery happen while anyone was anywhere? Jeremy?
I met a lovely lady on New Year's Eve. Very, very sweet girl. Very
nailed
nice.
It.
Had sex with me within an hour meeting her. So very
double
sweet
nailed
girl.
It.
No, I met someone and we ended up going back to Dan's place. That's where I was staying. And Keith and Nick were in the blow-up mattress in the living room, and I was going to sleep on the couch. So we start fooling around on the couch. And
first question is, as a general rule, do you like an audience?
If there's other participation.
I can't recall if we've actually discussed this before. Have you been in a threesome before?
You know, I talk a big game. I'm always like, I try to get some kind of multi-person thing going. But I think when push comes to shove, like if I looked over and I saw a girl like unzip Keith's pants, I think I'd probably run away.
Well, so I'm not talking a double threesome.
But to be fair, there was a time in LA where Jeremy and I were like staying at Eric's place, and it was like 12 people. Everyone's on the floor, and like we were really pushing hard to get our one friend to try to, you know, convince her, just the three of us. You know, I don't know why, looking back on it, but we were really trying to. We were making a presentation to her.
I just want to be clear. The idea was that it would be Jeremy, this girl, and you.
That's correct. Yes.
Okay.
We got her to think about it.
Well, I mean, I guess the way I look at it is you guys have already jerked off in front of each other. What's the difference? But that's adding a vagina really doesn't make a big difference.
I think we were just really horny at the time. I don't know what it was, but we were just like all about talking to her. You know, we were like playing it cool, joking about it, but like, hey, so really you want to, you know, but
again, it goes to the same thing where like push comes to shove, if she started making out with me and then Spencer, we both would have been like frightened turtles and probably ran away.
See, I would highly recommend, Jeremy, that your 2013 resolution is that you have a threesome with, I mean, I would recommend two women. I think you'll be happier with two women. But if you need to, I think you should just do a girl and a guy. Just get it out of the way. You know, another penis in the bedroom with you is not gonna. It shouldn't be a deal killer. You know, just go with it.
Brian, for the last 27 years, I've been trying to have a threesome with two girls. Okay, I will continue to try, and we'll see what
can
happens.
Can we put it on the blog?
What if your only threesome option is you, another guy, and a girl?
I think it depends on the guy. I think if
Brian.
It was like Spencer, maybe
hey,
Nick.
How's it going?
Brian, I don't know about you. You'd be a little...
Brian,
I mean, you'd be right to be hesitant around me because I would, you know, in that scenario, if I was thrust into a guy-girl-guy threesome, I would be all about the guy. So... You know,
yeah, but the entire time, Spencer, my ankle's hurting, you're rubbing up against my ankle. Too much chatter.
Here's the problem. Like, do you really want to know if Spencer has a bigger dick than you?
I kind of do.
Yes, I do.
Yeah,
okay.
I thought we measured once. It was exactly the same size for some reason.
Oh,
yeah, it was,
well, like
yeah.
What, when you were 12?
No, we didn't know each other.
It was like 6 months ago.
It was in my bar mitzvah. When I was 13.
Did you guys measure each other with your mouths? Like, yeah, okay, you're the exact same size.
Let's move along, please.
Brian, stop fantasizing about us, please. It's getting over here.
I've got to close this bedroom door I'm in right now.
We should put it on a blog. We should put it up for a vote, maybe, you know, how Jeremy's first threesome should go down, like the participants or like girl, guy, girl, you know, something like that. We could throw out there.
You vote for who gets to be in the threesome.
Yeah, yeah. America gets to choose. We call
and America
up the,
choose,
and
America
then,
chooses Adam Dyer and Nick
and then,
West.
Well, that's what I was going to say, Jeremy. We then call up the person live on the podcast and tell them they won and see what their response is because they won't even know they're on it. So, like, Adam Dyer will be like, oh,
hey, yes, is this Magic Mikey? Oh, hi, Magic Mikey. It's Two Gays and Two Gays Gay Podcast.
Hey, Dyer. Yes, Dyer, you won. Okay, cool. Next Saturday?
I think Nick would be down. I think if you two went to Nick and said, "Hey, we're kind of interested in a guy threesome," he'd be like, "Okay."
Well, actually, and you know what's funny to bring up Nick is that he seems more open to letting you give him the KJBJ because he wants to see what all the fuss is about. So Nick and
unfortunately, he's not going to Vegas in a couple weeks. So
that is true.
I'm telling you, I would have been tempted.
Give Spencer the KJBJ.
Nick is a handsome man. I don't mind saying that.
I will stand in place for Nick, okay? That's the least I can do.
But you're not blonde. You need to blonde dye everything. I want stem to stern.
total if I bottom. Wear a Nick Foles Eagles jersey, would that help?
It might.
Okay.
Well, here's a trivia question before we move on, Brian. Spencer Yasbin used to put gel in his pubes in high school. That's a true story.
Why?
He stylized it a couple times.
Had a little cyber, had little cyberds going too.
Because he thought the girls would like it.
So. Well, here's the thing.
But they never even got to see it, Jeremy. That was the whole problem.
Yeah, it was. The whole
problem. I went one step too far.
You know, like late at night when you go home and like you wash your hair to get the gel out of it. Spencer would do that with his pubes.
Just yeah. I have like a little spritzer. Just.
Oh boy.
All right. I don't know how we can possibly move on from there, but we must. So let's toss it over to Spencer for a little dirty talk.
Dirty talk.
All right. Well, I'm not going to lie. We have quite a bit.
But Spencer, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but a lot of listeners have told me multiple times, Brian Martinson.
Too much Todd?
No. Brian Martinson does not respect the rules of dirty talk. So Spencer, it's the new year. It's a fresh slate.
Yeah.
One more time, tell Brian the rules of dirty talk.
Okay, Brian, let me finish the damn sentence. That's dirty talk. That's all you got to do. You respond after I say the statement, okay? I know some of these you're going to know. That's great. Fantastic. Just wait for me to finish the sentence, all right? All right, let's move along. Here we go. These are over the span of the past 3 weeks, so some of them may be a little outdated, but what the hell? Refresher. First one. After Brooklyn guard Joe Johnson hit the game-winning shot at the buzzer in double overtime, the cameras panned to comedian Jerry Seinfeld in attendance. Without missing a beat, Ian Eagle, the TV voice of the Nets and a longtime CBS announcer, channeled his inner Seinfeld with, "That was real, and that was spectacular." I went to my
Seinfeld. All right.
I thought my Seinfeld guys would like that. I guess they didn't.
Yeah, I liked it, but I mean, it's no Terry Hatcher in her real breasts. No,
I like that Brian respected the rules of dirty talk.
True, so. True. I should probably just start laughing profusely. Okay. All right, next one. I call this, well, is he or isn't he? Rob Parker on ESPN's first take spoke the following a couple weeks back about RG3. My question is, which is just straight honest question, is he a brother or is he a cornball brother? He's not really. He's black, but he's not really down with the cause. He's not one of us. He's kind of black, but he's not really like the guy you'd want to hang out with. I just want to find out about him. I don't know, because I keep hearing these things. He has a white fiance, people talking about that he's a Republican. There's no information at all. I'm just trying to dig deeper into why he has an issue. Why he has an issue, keep in mind. And then, first off, I just want to say RG3 with a white fiance. All right. Secondly, but on a more, this is a more serious note, Jeremy. I want to ask you this actually directly.
Yes. Yes.
Is Brian a purebred homo or just a welfare gay?
Welfare gay.
Okay.
Hands down. Hands
what?
Down. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm confused.
No, actually, I will say, first of all, regarding Rob Parker, I think he did get suspended. I think he still is suspended for saying that. I'm shocked he said that, and as a white person, I'm very offended, so I can only imagine how a black person feels about that.
Wait, are you offended that a white fiance has been taken away from us, or that?
No, not at all. Okay, I did not say that. Yeah. America, I did not say that.
J2016, he's still in contention. Okay, go on.
But I will say, actually, regarding Brian, I take it back. You're purebred. He's never been with a girl. Never seen a vagina, and he's all man.
I am all man.
He's all man.
And just to let you know about that welfare gay statement, I got that from Joel, a fan of the podcast. You know, I didn't really know if there was a term similar to what our Rob Parker was referring to with blacks. I didn't know if there was something where there's a term for gay people, and he didn't really know for sure, but nevertheless, I asked him to help me with the term, and he mentioned to me there's a website where I can find the answer with a catch. He said, well, it's a website that actually lists random gay terms that people have invented about stuff like this. It's just mixed in with porn. Can't hold our interest. You can't hold our interest for too long without dropping a couple of shirtless men in the margins here and there. I know that I personally go to manthong.com for the fine literature. Just email it to yourself and have some private time in the bathroom. And I responded.
Is this Joel telling you this?
This is Joel, yeah. And I responded, so this is your solution to finding out the coveted answer, locking myself with man thong in a bathroom? Come on, Joel. Joel responds back, you may not find the answers you were looking for, but you'll find answers. So I thank you, Joel, for that. So yeah, we established welfare gay, so. But Joel,
I honestly don't know what welfare gay means, to be perfectly honest.
I don't think he does either, but we just went with it. But I guess I think you're down with the cause, Brian. That's all that matters, right?
Not sure. I knew what the cause is. Yes, okay. I'll be down with it.
All right, he's a little out of it, folks. We apologize. Okay. moving on, Joel. There's a lot of Joel in this one, so brace yourself. Joel writes to me. Gotta say, I empathize with you, brother. I had the stomach flu all week, and I've been on my knees begging for one decent poop. Me. We need those listeners. You have a huge following, right? Another Joel says, oh, yeah, the Garcia bump. Tons of fans. It puts people in the seats, let me tell you. So Joel is very proud of himself.
I want to say, puts people in the seats, that is kind of a Brianism. So he's channeling a little Brian.
Awkward.
Oh, no, I'm fine with that. Evidently, I'm known for having these kinds of... some might call them antiquated. I call them old-fashioned quips, and this is one of them. Putting asses in the seats is one of the things I like to say.
For the record. All right, two more Joels. We're doing good on time, right,
Joel.
Guys?
We're doing good? When it comes to Joel, okay. We got nothing but time.
Great. Regarding sponsors, Joel says, your gay following is about to blow up, so your new advertisers might be Grindr and Durex or Lifestyles.
Well, except for Jeremy, because he doesn't use condoms.
Yeah, true.
Is that the preferred condom by gay males, Lifestyles?
Ugh. No, it's like...
How do you guys not use Trojan? I mean, that's the same.
I use Trojan. Whenever my sexual activities require the use of a condom, I only use Trojan.
I used to use Durex like 3 years ago, but...
You know. And now he uses nothing at all.
And then there was a huge recall, I believe, with Durex.
Jeremy was in mid-sex. And a completely diseased penis.
Jeremy was in mid-sex. He was in mid-sex, and then it came on the news. We are recalling all Durexes. And Jeremy's like, God damn it! But the show had to go on. Unfortunately, the show had to go on. All right.
Just rip that thing off.
The last Joel regarding me, Spencer. I still have no idea what he looks like. Let's keep it that way till we're done. Needless to say, I took a cold shower that night, but very chilling. Okay, moving on. Nicholas. Nicholas says, honestly, this may be the best episode yet. If these balls could talk, is genius. So, Brian, instant star, and Joel.
Yeah, great story, great voice.
Was this Nick?
Nicholas, yes.
Nick West.
Yeah. Okay, because there's another friend of ours named Nicholas who specifically requests going as Nicholas, so it threw me for a second.
I understand. sorry to confuse you. It's been a long day, audience. Just we continue. Brian says, should we try to get Joel to Vegas in January so he and Spencer can make sweet love? Oh, you are just relentless on this. Unfortunately, Joel is not coming with us.
I'm telling you, Spencer, you know I love you. I'm telling you, you need to get your ass pounded by Joel. It's going to solve so many problems. Like, you're so backed up both on the front end and the back end. It's just going to set you free.
Joel, set me free, please. Mr. December writes on Facebook, I went to the blog to vote, but didn't find a gay Spencer poll. If you recall, we talked about that last episode. Am I gay or am I not gay? I still don't know the answer. So, Mr. December, if you can help me, please. Someone answer the question for me.
I think one of the things that we'll be working on in 2013 is, as part of like the podcast 2.0 relaunch, is really putting much more energy and effort into the website, which I think gets short shrift. So, sorry, Mr. December. We'll work harder to make your life easier when looking at the things that we reference here on the podcast.
There you go. Okay, a couple Warshaw comments. He apparently saw Jeremy in LA about a month ago. And Warshaw had a response on when Jeremy asked him what he thought of Spencer's colonoscopy story. Him blaming it on the acne medicine is such bullshit. He's trying to start a conspiracy theory. I stand by my claim.
Yes, I'm sure the reason you can't think of shit is because of acne medicine you took 10 years ago.
You know what,
ago.
Nick took some of that acne medicine from me. Let's get him on the podcast, find out if he had trouble the day after.
I think Nick is crapping like a champ.
I could just see that movie Outbreak. They could make the whole story about me based on that movie Outbreak, where I'm like the little monkey, and then I cause age, but I also have the cure for it too.
You're patient zero.
Yeah, patient zero. And then Patrick Dempsey just dies awful in the airport. The same scene with me, basically. I just shit everywhere and I blow up. Next
and
worst.
Brian Spencer is referring to the fact that he looks like Patrick Dempsey, just for the record.
Really?
Again, audience, you're going to have to apologize, Brian. He's late to the game. Sorry.
Well, if Patrick Dempsey is pasty, short, and a little overweight, then yes.
A little overweight? What the hell? Am I gay? Can someone just answer it? Okay. Another Warshaw, he and Jeremy were walking by a Hobbit poster that featured Gollum, who's in the Lord of the Rings movie as well, as everyone knows. Warshaw says, "Is that the same guy from the Lord of the Rings films? I keep seeing his image on the Hobbit posters and not sure if it just happens to be a similar-looking dude. It's not him, right? Like, what are the odds?" Oh, boy. Jeremy, how did you respond when you heard that?
I did, you know, I stared at him for 10 seconds with a blank stare, and then I quickly changed the subject. I was shocked that he said this, but when he said this, he had this look on his face, like, very confused, like I don't get it. Why? How is that possible? It's the same. It looks like the same character. Meanwhile, above his image, there's a giant thing that says, you know, from the director of Lord of the Rings and the continuation of the story, but, you know, we love you, Adam. We love you.
But the best part is you didn't even answer him. You just said, let's get a coffee. So.
Sometimes questions don't deserve answers, and that's one of those questions.
Yes.
So thank you, Adam, for that. Adam is one of our one for sure we know that's listened to every single podcast. We appreciate it.
Yeah, he gets a T-shirt.
Didn't you guys have a very nice dinner or drinks or something where he was had some ideas for the podcast?
He floated some things around, but he kind of brought up those he brought up those quotes again. He's like, yeah, you know, the colonoscopy and everything. So I was just like, oh, man, he's just relentless. He won't stop, this guy. All right, how about some Greg, my friend Greg? Brian, you know my friend Greg, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you're going to play dumb? Come on now, you know him.
Spencer,
come on.
Spencer, remind America who Greg is.
America, here's who Greg is. Greg is... also a listener of the podcast. We thank him. And, you know, a couple episodes back, he made a comment to me that he's like, oh, out of the three of your voices, the gay guy has the worst voice. And when that remark was made on my Dirty Talk that episode, Brian lost it. And he went on to have a weekly rant about my friend Greg. And he's really never let it go, so much so that we intend to bring Greg on to the podcast to confront Brian. Or Brian to confront Greg. So
yeah, why, what's he confronting me about?
He's going to confront you
I
about
hate your
awful
voice.
Voice, apparently. Yeah, he is so livid, as you'll find out here. So let me continue. Greg says, the gay guy sounds like he should be on NPR.
That's actually a compliment, though.
Yeah, I don't think that is an insult.
Well, you have to realize the
Try
context.
Try harder, Greg.
But also, Greg says, let's see. Greg says, so I've never listened to episode 12. I have to go back listening now. And then I write, yeah, be forewarned, the audio is shaky. And Greg says, yeah, it's an improvement for Gabe's voice.
Oh, Greg.
Oh, man. And one last.
Brian just got out of his car and he's driving to Dallas right now.
I'm going to Dallas. So one more Greg comment for the road. He says, by the way, I enjoy the Hemroy talk in episode 11. Very helpful. So thank you. I'm glad I could help.
And Spencer, once again, we're happy to hear that you're healthy.
Yes. not happy, but just healthy. Yes.
Yeah, just healthy.
All right. Two more before we wrap this up. Mikey quickly writes, I ate a blueberry muffin, and when I took a shit later in the day and wiped my ass, the toilet paper was blue.
Oh, naturally.
He told me that, too.
He's very proud of that blueberry muffin.
He is very proud of that blue poop.
I want to know what kind of blue we're talking about, because, you know, blueberries, typically, they're a little darker on the end, so it could be a colorblind issue here, but we'll find out.
Midnight blue.
As we wrap up the Dirty Talk, we have to do it with Mr. December responding back to Derek. As you recall, Derek was not happy. Apparently, Mr. December drank his limoncello. And here was Mr. December's response. Limoncello, I can't even say that word. Okay, I'm just going to go
on. This is great radio, by the way.
Sorry,
I can't read.
I vehemently reject the charge that I drank the entire bottle of Handsome Derek's Fruity Drink. I recall pouring one, admittedly large glass, from the fun-shaped bottle. I certainly didn't drink the entire bottle. It was already open when I happened upon it on the counter. However, as a gesture of goodwill and as a penance of my illicit touching of his leg, can one of you send me Derek's PayPal email address so that I may reimburse him the cost of his beloved and oh-so-masculine limoncello? I would hate for him to be short of adult beverages this time of year.
That is mighty big of Mr. December. And I do also want to point out, I spoke with the senior cats, Eric, and he confirms Mr. December's story. While Mr. December
he's blushing.
Did finish the bottle, there was not much left to finish. So I think that kind of diffuses the situation, hopefully. Derek will hopefully be a bigger man, accept the apology that Mr. December so kindly offered, and that'll be the end of it.
There you go. And that is the Dirty Talk of the Week.
Now, thank you, Spencer, first of all.
Thank you, Spencer.
You're welcome, guys.
We had planned on doing a big, extravagant, holiday-themed episode, but while I brought my stuff to Minnesota to record the podcast, none of these other princesses here could have been bothered to do the same wherever they were traveling. So
you for real,
didn't
Holmes?
Actually get a chance to record anything over the holiday season.
You for real, Holmes?
I was ready to go.
Oh. Jeremy, did you ever get that email? I never got that. Interesting.
I was in sweatpants for the last 2 weeks. I don't know what was going on.
I was preparing for the Mayans. I was eating human, for God's sake.
I specifically mentioned it to Jeremy, and Jeremy's answer was like, oh, Spencer's going to be in Miami. He's not going to be there. Don't worry about it.
No one pitched it to me. I could have been on the beach.
Out of curiosity, are you tanner now? Or are you still pasty?
I was tan for a day, and then now I'm pasty again. It doesn't last long. I stayed at a very cool European hip hotel. So it was fun. You know, a lot of dudes were in Speedos. It was quite a blast. You know, I'm just reading my second book of The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. You know, just enjoying myself. And, yeah, all these European guys. But good food, some good Miami cocktails, and, yeah.
And some all right company.
And out of curiosity, when we had this
company was
discussion
fantastic.
Earlier, Chris Spencer, out of curiosity, when we had this discussion earlier about what we did over the holidays, why didn't you bring this up?
I don't think you ever asked me specifically. Is it such a big deal?
I said we're talking about what we did over the holidays.
I'm sorry.
I think we were talking about orgies and Spencer and me
measuring
our penises.
I was about to say I pulled a Brian on this episode, just being a little out of it, but I think Brian just pulled his own Brian, so.
And since it is the new year, we have contributor to the podcast, member of the very first debate, Aaron, presenting us with his State of America address. Now, I've not heard this, so I have a feeling it's going to segue directly into a weekly rant. So let me take a listen to it.
This great nation stands tall from sea to shining sea, a legacy of freedom passed down to you and me. Our fathers looked to God above and to his holy word to build this land we call America.
Hello, America, and Happy New Year. It's January 1st. At least I'm recording this on January 1st, 2013, and at this time, the House of Representatives has passed the Senate bill to avert the fiscal cliff. Well, we technically went over the fiscal cliff. Anyway, my name is Aaron, and I have been asked to do a monthly State of America address for two Jews and a gay. I'm honored to do so, and pleased to be to have some airtime to air my grievances. So I wanted tonight to talk about what's going on in the country in light of what the fiscal deal and the fact that we went off the cliff, even if it was for 24 hours, we still did go over it. Mostly I want to say that this deal is really just a Band-Aid fix. It doesn't get to any of our core problems or issues that the country is facing. It really only punts the ball for about 2 months, actually, because we have another mini fiscal cliff in 2 months when the country reaches the debt ceiling. And we're right back at the table trying to figure out how to solve another serious financial issue. Our country needs strong leadership right now, and I feel like nobody in Congress, both parties, and the president, nobody's leading this country. It's more about the short game and how to score political points. It's not about the long game and what's right for the country. It's about who's going to win the next election. I have a lot of thoughts on that. We can talk about that as these addresses progress, but right now, we need to start focusing on the big issues: tax reform, entitlement reform, and out of control spending. Spending is simply taking over our country's ability to pay down any debt. We're spending more than we bring in year after year, and that's just adding on to a debt that's spiraling out of control. Our interest payments alone on our debt are taking out a lot of our money that the government brings in. So we're going to eventually reach a tipping point and become like a Greece, where our interest payments on our debt alone prevents us from spending any money on any other discretionary spending. And that's a serious problem. I don't fall into the doomsday camp of some economists who believe we've already gone over the tipping point and we can't come back just because of the interest payments. But it is a fact that when our interest rates go up, and right now they're at historical lows, but when they go up, that interest rate also goes up on our debt payments. So we're going to owe a lot more money as our economy improves and the Fed raises interest rates. We have, maybe 2-3 years to really figure out how to get our deficits under control, how to get our debt under control, and to start living within our means. And we'll talk about that more as these podcasts continue, but I wanted to have a short introduction tonight and wish everybody Happy New Year, and thank Two Jews and a Gay for having this segment. We will speak soon.
All right. I'm actually not nearly as enraged as I thought I was going to be.
All right. Bipartisan agreement. All right. Moving on.
I think the general feeling I have is when people have that discussion of like they want to get their fiscal house in order, and they want to talk about tax reform, they generally mean that they want to gut social programs and entitlements and not ask us to pay a single cent more in taxes. So I'd be very curious. I'm going to withhold judgment on what Aaron's thoughts are until I hear actually what Aaron's thoughts are on how to solve this problem and what his prescriptions are for the future. Obviously, this could spawn a very interesting series of debates. I do thank him for being a contributor. I think hearing another voice is very beneficial. I may not always agree with the views, but I think having a discussion where we're not demonizing the other side just because they have opposing ideas is always a good positive thing for this country. So, Aaron, welcome to the podcast as a contributor, and let's move on to the next segment. Jeremy, it is time for America's favorite spinoff, and this is, that's a hard bar to cross because America loves their spinoffs, but I think hands down this is America's favorite spinoff. It is now time for Dirty Talk Hollywood with Jeremy Katz. Jeremy, take it away.
Let's talk some Dirty Talk. First headline, HBO is getting into the Hungry Bottom business. HBO has picked up a comedy about three gay friends living in San Francisco. The show revolves around the 30-something trio grappling with the complexities of life and the modern gay experience. Who's TiVoing the show first between the two of you?
Well, Spencer.
That's my vote was Stu, yeah.
Probably. It's probably going to be me, yeah. I'm fascinated by their lifestyle, and I really want to try. I'm hoping this show dives into why do they always shove on these shows for gay guys. The guy always shoves the other guy's head down to go down on him. I don't understand. Like, they'll start making out, and the other guy will just immediately shove his head down. I've seen this on like 4 or 5 TV shows or movies now. I want answers.
Well, isn't that the only way that you're getting a blowjob?
I don't have to shove people's heads down there. It's crazy. It just seems very. Very
Spencer,
disrespectful between guys. I don't understand.
Don't you, Spencer?
Why can't guys get along better? Why does it have to be like that, Brian? Tell me.
Well, there's a power dynamic. I think when there are people in that role, there's a little bit of, you know, I'm taking control of the situation by forcing that person down.
Hmm. What about romance in someone? Why can't you romance?
There's very little romance involved with sucking a dick.
Oh. Jeremy, let me write that down on my diary real fast.
Yeah, please. Brian, let me ask you this. Since HBO is known for glorifying sex and all their shows is a lot of nudity and sex, as a gay male, they're going to have a sitcom about gays. Are you going to be offended if it's just a lot of sex on the show?
No.
No. So
if they're good looking guys, absolutely not.
That's what I like to hear. All right, next headline. More and more movie actors and actresses are moving to TV. And the latest one appears to be former Spencer Spank Bank actress Anna Faris.
Spank
Spencer,
Bank?
Spencer. Hey, jerked off to Anna Faris.
I gotcha.
Yeah. You jerked off to her, yeah.
Nah, she didn't really ever. She's not. You think she's hot?
I mean, she's cute. I mean,
she's
that's
cute. She's
like.
Yeah. She's
Faris will lead the CBS sitcom Mom from Chuck Lorre, the man behind the network's comedy series 2.5 Men, The Big Bang Theory, and Mike and Molly. Mom centers on a newly sober single mom who tries to pull her life together in Napa Valley. Do you guys consider this a promotion or demotion for Faris?
Well, I will say this. CBS and Chuck Lorre are some sort of bizarre hit factory.
Gold. Like
they are. Everything that they launch is just like amazing. It just gets amazing ratings. Mm-hmm. I can't speak to the actual comedic worth of it. Funny thing is, I actually have a former coworker that I think she may have developed this pilot.
Oh, very nice. Get her on the podcast.
I can't confirm that because I know she's working on a pilot with Chuck Lorre, and they announced it like in the Hollywood Reporter, and she had a meeting with someone at the network, and they had a quote bankable star attached to the project, and Anna Faris is definitely a bankable star, so I think this might be her particular project.
I would Spencer.
Well, I was just gonna say it. I'd have to answer your question with my own question, and that would give me the answer. Was it either Mom or being in that new movie by the Wayans brothers, The Haunted House? Because if it was between those two, I'd say it's a promotion. But
Spencer, you've never once touched yourself to Anna Faris.
I don't think so. I think, you know, I mean, I always thought she was cute in the scary movies and whatnot, but I mean, you know, she's no Carmen Electra in those movies. I don't know.
Now, Spencer, you're telling me you never touched yourself once over Joel?
Well, that's a different. You're asking me different things now.
I got
oranges and apples. Come on now.
All right, guys. The final headline. This is going to be a good one. 2013 will bring the resurrection of two comedy classics, Anchorman 2 and Arrested Development. Both will have the original cast returning, as well as the creators, writers, and directors. So, guys, which are you more excited for, Anchorman 2 or Arrested Development?
Arrested Development,
yeah,
hands down.
I would say Arrested Development. I would say definitely Arrested Development. You know, I love Anchorman. The first time I saw Anchorman, I was like, this is good. And then when you see it over and over again, it just grows on you. But
yeah,
Arrested
absolutely.
Development, day one when I watched it, and I watched it like, I remember watching a couple episodes, and then I went and bought the season and then watched it like on an airplane, like 4 or 5 episodes, just kept constantly watching it. It's just so funny. So It's definitely got to be Arrested Development. The only thing I worry about is if Michael Cera's got a big head, but hopefully they just don't use him a lot because his character's
no,
not
honestly,
super funny.
Honestly, his career has been in the toilet lately. I mean, think about it. What, name a movie
but this
that
is
he's
what,
been successful
This is
in.
The role he plays so perfectly, though. So it could be...
I know, but I would have been concerned that he'd get a big head if like he was some sort of bankable Hollywood star.
But, Brian, he was the one, and Jeremy, maybe I'm wrong, but wasn't he the one that was holding out the reason that it took them so long to do this?
There were rumors about that. Yeah, I mean, the rumors was that Cera, when he was, you know, he got the, what was that, a Jonah Hill movie and a couple of movies in a row, where the rumor was that he wanted more money. I don't know if it's true or not, but I will say, and I agree with you guys, I am more excited for Arrested Development just because Anchorman, essentially, you know, they caught lightning in a bottle, and the odds for them to do that twice is less likely than Arrested Development, which is, you know, just got the 30-minute format, and now that it's on Netflix, they can do a little bit more edgy than go a little edgier than they were on Fox. They could probably, I think they can curse on Netflix, I'm not sure, but...
And just as a follow-up, I just looked it up. It was actually Todd Hale that was holding out for a large sum of money, so there you go.
Buster?
Buster demanded that he be the star of the show.
Well, here's another question. Who do you guys... What's a better character, Buster or Steve Carell's character in Anchorman?
Oh, Buster.
Yeah.
Definitely Buster. Steve Carell's character, it's like, it's funny for a couple of lines, but, you know, I mean, he was great in it, but I think it's going to be hard for Steve Carell, now that he's, like, more of a star, to, like you said, find lightning in a bottle. I mean, I think it's a challenge for each actor to find that inner role. I think Will Ferrell's definitely capable of it. I know Dave Kochner is definitely capable of it, but Paul Rudd and Steve Carell, I think, will have a little more challenge.
Yeah, I agree with you. Well, I think we all agree that Arrested Development we're more excited for, but I can't wait to see both of them. And guys, I had a fourth headline. I was going to cut it, but you guys mentioned something that involves the fourth headline. So would you like to hear the fourth headline?
I'd love to hear the fourth headline.
Demanding the fourth headline, please.
All right, I'm going to read it. There we go. Here's a name you probably haven't heard in a while. Michael Cera. I think we can all agree that America got a little burnt out on Michael Cera.
Say it ain't so.
As mentioned before. So, guys, what do you do if you're Michael Cera besides coming back to Arrested Development? Well, he's co-starring in a – that would actually be – I think – I would probably watch that, actually.
I would, too. But, I would definitely watch. I'd probably touch myself for that, I'd have to admit.
It's always fun to watch someone who's most likely got a smaller penis than you do and less fit
like
than
Screech.
You do have sex.
Like Screech with the porn, you know?
Yeah, I love that. That was a great one to watch, yeah.
I would guess that Michael Cera has a pretty big penis. Those thin, wiry types.
You'd guess wrong.
Just be packing a
All right, guys. So what do you do if you're Michael Cera besides doing porn? Well, he's co-starring in a drama titled Magic Magic. Will audiences buy Michael Cera in a dramatic role?
Yes, because I think his comedic shtick isn't too far away from drama anyway. Like he kind of plays a little bit of a little deadpan anyway. Mm-hmm. So I think he can segue nicely into drama.
Is he the star of this movie?
He's like the co-star. I think he plays kind of a drug addict.
It's gonna be tough. It's gonna be tough for the first go around. I mean, I think Jim Carrey struggled with these type of movies, you know, Majestic and everything.
Jim Carrey was just desperate for Oscar. Every dramatic role he took was just please.
Well, Michael
Cera's
Michael Cera's desperate for a warm meal. So I mean, it's amazing what desperation will do to people. But it doesn't change the fact it's going to be a challenge.
Yeah, it'll be a challenge, but I think he can do it.
Yeah, that is true. All right, guys. Well, it's been fun. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, Jeremy, for the always entertaining Dirty Talk Hollywood. Now, we are in the middle of Wild Card Weekend. In fact, the Houston-Cincinnati game is playing as we are recording this. But that still doesn't mean we can't make our NFC champion, AFC champion, and Super Bowl predictions and see how accurate we are as the days and weeks unfold. So, Spencer, why don't you give us your predictions?
Well, I've been going back and forth on this. You know, we're taping this on Saturday, so... if I make some of these predictions I'm about to and I'm wrong already, it's going to be humiliating, but I've been embarrassed before. So here we go. I'm going to say AFC Championship.
Normally when naked is when you're most embarrassed, right?
Well, usually. And my pubes are at a normal high.
And when they have an unusual part to do to all that hair gel.
Yeah. I still can't get it out from 8th grade. I've had Jeremy look at it. He said there's nothing you can do. So.
He he did what he could. He was
He got a nice cone.
He explored it with his lips and tongue.
No. Stop being. Why are you making it so homoerotic? It's nothing like that. He took a cone.
Oh, well, you have.
He took a comb on the left side. I took a comb on the right side, and we both sweep at the same time.
Crease in your pubes is a little homoerotic. I'm sorry.
We both went 1, 2, 3 sweep with the combs, and it just.
He had the part in the middle of his pubes.
It looked a little too much like Hitler, so we had to. We swore we'd never show anyone it ever again, and I have it never. So, eighth grade and still going strong. I'm gonna say Broncos over the Patriots in the AFC Championship, and in the NFC, I'm gonna say Packers over the Falcons in the NFC Championship. Broncos, Packers. I'm gonna go with the Broncos winning it. I think I'm going to be totally off just because Manning hasn't had great luck in the past. But I think this team defensively is significantly better than any of the defenses he ever had on the Colts. And honestly, I think John Fox is a much better coach than definitely what he had with Jim Caldwell. And I think he's overall a better coach in-game decisions than Tony Dungy. So I like the coaching, and I love the quarterback in Manning. So Broncos over the Packers.
Jeremy?
I'm going to go just strictly the winners of the divisions. I'm going to go the NFC, the San Francisco 49ers. Although I feel like even though Kaepernick might be a better quarterback than Alex Smith, I still think making that switch will potentially hurt the 49ers because he's a rookie. He's not a rookie, but he's only started a handful of games. But Alex Smith won that big playoff game in New Orleans. He's got the experience. Kaepernick doesn't have that experience, so I could see him struggling a little bit in the playoffs. But I love 49ers defense is great. So I've got the 49ers in the NFC. AFC, I've got the Broncos. I think they are the hottest team right now. Defense, offensively, they'll beat the Patriots. It'll be a good game, though. And then my Super Bowl winner right now is going to be the Denver Broncos. Can't believe I'm saying it.
All right. I am going to say NFC Championship game will be...
Vikings.
Vikings.
Joe Webb.
I'm going to go... I have a feeling it's going to be... I'm trying to think the matchups here, how they break down based on... Because I think Seattle's going to beat Washington. And I think... so they will play...
It depends on the 3-6 game.
They'll play Atlanta because I think Green Bay beats.
There you go.
So I think it's going to be Green Bay versus Seattle in the NFC Championship game. I think Green Bay gets the redemption for that blown call and wins the NFC Championship. In the AFC, I think it's going to be Patriots versus Broncos, and I never count out Tom Brady and Bill Belichick in an AFC Championship game, and I think it's going to go. Patriots. So the Super Bowl, I think it's going to be Patriots beating the Packers. That's my prediction.
Oh.
Wow. Some Minnesota Viking fan you are.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm a realist.
Some Joe Webb fan you are, too.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see who's right at the end. But I think that's it for us today.
Mm-hmm. Guys, I'm excited for the, you know, Two Jews and a Gay podcast 2013. In the coming weeks, we'll have the Newlywed Game will finally launch. We'll have our first.
We can't call it the Newlywed Game.
That is true.
We'll call it Know Your Mate or something.
Know
like
Your
that.
Mate. Yes, we'll have. We got some great guests coming up. You know, we booked Liz Wiseman. She's always a riot. Oh. We'll have our first Black guest. Very excited about that, and potentially our first lesbian guest. And you know it, a lot more
Who's
gays
black?
And Jews.
Who do we have that's a black guest?
You'll find out, Brian.
And just a quick update, Todd Yasmin just got on Skype. I wonder what he's up to. So
he's probably preparing his podcast. We were talking to his friend.
Two idiots and a Todd. Getting a lot of publicity.
All right. For Jeremy Katz and Spencer Yasmin, I am Brian Martinson. Thank you for listening, and we will catch you next week.